We started the fourth section of the Maimer on Nil Daidi V'Daidi Li on page Chav Beis in the Sefer. The fourth section we started, we're up to the Perush in the second column. Here the Alter Rebbe is coming to the rescue of a person who doesn't feel Rachmanis on that part of him, the elikus, the godliness that's in Galus. He doesn't feel the Rachmanis that we were talking about the last parak, the last chedek of the Maimer, to somehow as a result of wanting and having Rachmanis and seeking and working hard. So what happens to such a person who doesn't have that drive? So that's what this section of the Maim is about. So it's very much Nageya to our time and to ourselves, how to try to come back. So the Rebbe had explained, we were learning that the teva of a person, the nature of a person, is that in order for something to hurt, we understand that there has to be a connection between the toenail and the toe, or the toe and the rest of the body. The Rebbe says that if a person bangs his toe against the wall, so it can cause an unbelievable pain that goes all the way up to the top of his head if he bangs his toe. That's only if the toe is connected to the foot. But if chas v'shalom, it's not connected anymore, if you take the toe and you throw it against the wall, you don't feel anything. So it's a pachad, that's what we're up to, that there is such a thing as a Jew where, God forbid, that there's some sort of a detachment that's taking place as a result of one's affairs, and therefore he becomes to some degree insensitive to the pain that his neshama is feeling. So we're on the second column, kach anachnu bnei Yisrael nepeirush. Kach anachnu bnei Yisrael mechubar medveken b'yisbar. L'chein tzurichim anachnu lahargish ha-keiv ha-pagam. She-pagamnu v'haradnu b'golus nitzay selikus yisbarach. Now since each and every Jew is connected to Hashem, even the lowest Jew is connected to Hashem yisbarach, therefore, in truth, any time that we would do something that's connected to Hashem, that's against Hashem's will, meaning that it's against that elokus that's within us, and it drives it further and further away, we should feel that pain. So he explains, Kach benimshal, gam nishmais chusei ha'erach shebimnei Yisrael, even the neshamas of the lowest Jews, shehim bedugmas tziparnei haregel, that they're compared to the nail of the toenails. A toenail itself is that part of the body that feels the least. It's so far from the mind, and it's so insensitive to pain. Shebnei Yisrael shem dugmas tziparnei haregel mechubaris im shorshin umakarin belakim chayim. Even the lowest Jew, who hardly feels anything, still, as long as he's connected in some way, he's connected to the living God, as long as there's a chibur, just like the toenail, as long as it's connected to the body, it'll feel, there could still be some pain. Therefore, we, even the lowest Jew, should feel the pain, that spiritual pain, of that spark of God that's within us, that's suffering, that's being hurt, that's being injured by our avayas. And it's the deep in galus, techaklipus in tuma. We're continuing, we learned, Chazal tell us, the Gemara says that a Jew, even a Jew who has sinned, he's still a Jew. And he still has within him the spark of God. It hasn't left him, it's only in a state of exile. Even a person who has sinned and who has been pogam, who has blemished, V'hayrid hanitzei tzeleki begolus, and has driven that spark of elikus deep into exile. Adayin mechubel l'shorsho. He's still connected to his shorish. He's still a yid. Alpha pishachat Yisrael, he's a yid. And because he's a yid, so even though he's a toenail, he's the lowest part of Klal Yisrael, he still is mechuber, just like a toenail, it still feels some faint sensation, and if you smash it, it could even cause the head to hurt. That's because it's still connected. Kamay mechazal Yisrael, alpha pishachat Yisrael, he's still a yid. Shagam achayte edayin shem Yisrael alav. Even someone who sins, he still is a Yisrael. Well, Yisrael, as we learned, the meaning of the name Yisrael is what is Sar Aleph Lamed. Sheyesh b'he'aris b'chinas Aleph Lamed, that even the lowest Jew who has sinned, he still has in him the Aleph Lamed. Not only does he have it in him, but really it rules over the deepest part of who he is ruled over. Remember we learned that the tiny spine Sar Aleph Lamed, that the Aleph Lamed, which is that Mida of what, that connects to the Ein Seif Baruch, to the infinite God, it still rules over the essence of who a Jew is. Even though what? Even though it's in a state of Golus. Sheish Baharas begins Aleph Lamed, Elishihi Behelim of Golus. The Aleph Lamed, even though it rules over his deeper self, L'maisa, it doesn't cause him to eat kosher, to keep Shabbos, to keep mitzvahs, but it's still there. Af b'shachat Yisraelu. V'lo ya'id, and that's what he explains. Elo sha'adayin nikir b'mailos ha'madregas ha'sar. It still has this maila, it has this madrega of what? Of being a sar, of being a ruler, of ruling over. Meaning elokus, aleph lam, it still rules over who he is. Shubachinus Yisrael hanal. The Tani says such a beautiful thing that even a sar who's an exile, who's taken captive, he's still a sar. There's still the chashivas. Lamailas a hedyet, when a plain person is captured. He acts in a way that he has no shaykhis. You see, even a yid who's not, even a Jew who's not shomer mitzvahs, who might not be religious, Yisrael af bishachata, there's an edelkeit, there's a goodness, there's a tzedakah that comes from a yid. There's certain things that a yid, that even the lowest Jew, but a Yisrael is chachis a Yisrael, and a Yisrael means that when someone's a prince and he's taken into captivity, there's still something that's different about him. You can still tell the Maile, you can still see something of the greatness of the Sar, even when he's in Golus. In other words, that part of God that's in Golus, that's called Aleph Lamed, it has an effect upon a Jew, even when it's far, far deep in Golus, that still has an impact upon the life of a Jew. Still makes a difference. He's still different. Ubatnua achas. Yochel shiahapech mina hepech ela hepech legamrei lachzul lekadmusa. You see, a plain person who a hedyet that goes into galus. So you know, you see a person. Sometimes you see, you know, a person that goes, he goes in a certain kind of a place, he goes to a certain neighborhood, and he becomes lost in that. Like many of the stories that we have, many of the mashalim about the ben melech, the prince. Almost all of our stories begin with a ben melech, with a prince that went into galus, and then he forgot he was a prince, and he started to act like everybody else, and so on. So, the truth is that betnuah achas, that a prince in one moment, he can return to his malchus. He can return to himself. It's still part of who he is. All those years that he spent, all the time that he spent in the palace. It didn't just disappear. It's still part of who he is. I was talking about that a little bit on Shabbos. That was what I was saying on Shabbos. The reishim that is left by the words of Torah that a person is, where parents say good things to a child, even though you might see that the child is dragging around a little bit off the path. But lamaisa, if you pour in good words and Yiddishkeit and Torah and the tefillahs and so on and kindness, so it makes a reishim, and it's in galus, but it makes a reishim. It makes a difference in it. There's still that bechina of a sar, of a prince. And a prince in a second can change back. Sometimes I see there's a fellow's been coming out lately. Like, you know, I haven't seen him in a while. So this, you know, that he was like so out of it, and it was so far that anybody would have told you that maybe Kulei Hai, like, you know, if he has 10 years of intense therapy, and like be a roommate. If you make him like a roommate with a square rabbi, then maybe he'll come back. And then you see, he comes, I'm not saying, that I know. He comes to davening, comes to land, and he's back in. He got himself a haircut, you know, took care of his clothing a little bit. It's a mikveh, he's back on track. You know, I hope it'll last, but it's not b'derech hateva. A yid has such a thing, that because even when he's in Golis, he's still a prince. So he knows the Genunei Malchus. He knows how to be a prince. He knows the right thing, but he went into crazy stuff for a while. But you see, he comes back. And it's really not so hard. It's really not so hard for a person to turn himself around. That's why he says not to give up Chas V'Shalom on any child or a Jew that you see is not going the right way in Chas V'Shalom. V'loy Oyin, so he explains, Ela Shebechina Zu, Da'alef Lamed, Hu'adayin Sar, as we learned, the name Yisrael is Sar Alef Lamed, it still rules, Shiha Meshelezbo, it still rules over who he is inside. Shalachain afa pisha begolus. So what does it mean? What does it mean he rules? So it means even though afa pisha begolus, even though that Aleph Lamed is in the state of golus, nakel b'yoyse avur olaksu legalus b'chinazu. Since it was there already, you can get it back. Like all the svarim explained that, you know, that the Gemara Nida, that why does the Malach learns with the baby, and then the Malach gives a clap, and the baby forgets all that he learned. So all the Svarim are asking, so then why does the Malach learn with the baby at all? If the Malach gives a clap and the baby forgets, so what's the Tachlis? So all the Svarim say that when the Jew hears Torah in this world, it's not the first time. It's not the first time. You can sit like we were learning the other day. You could take a big intellectual from the Umas Islam, a guy, and you could put him in the room with a Sefer, and it's the first time he's ever heard it, and you can hack and you can clap, and it doesn't go. He had heard it before, and the first time he heard it was clear, it was good. Not like when he's hearing it now, the second time. He's confused the second time. It's hard, but when he heard it the first time with the Malach, there are no learning disabilities inside the womb. Baruch Hashem. There's no ADD and AHD and DDS and PPP and all the different recitatives that make it impossible nowadays. 98% of the population can't learn anything. They might as well close up the schools or just leave a little, three kids need school. Because according to what the experts are saying, nobody is able to learn anymore. A lot of that stuff is a bunch of hooey, Irish guy.
These people have to work too.
Yeah, I guess it's. I guess it may be. I'm just make panos with all those vegetables, I guess. So, some of it's true, but I don't know.
Is that chat in the Sira also? Yeah. Said Motzei Shabbos.
Yeah.
When one finds his kesher to a chaver.
Exactly. It's not the first time. That's exactly it. That's what we're talking about. The zivig. The zivig means that, like the Maral says, the baskal. What's a baskal? There's a feeling, there's an awareness, there's a recognition that this is right. When a Jew sits and learns something, you have a person that wasn't religious his whole life. Well, you see such a thing in the world. It's an amazing thing. You sit him down, you learn with him a little bit. You know, he comes for Shabbos, that it Amish lights something in a person, because he's coming back to something that once was. It's not a new thing. Inside of him, he remembers, because that's in Golis. That's Sar is in Golis. It's not something which is gone. It's in the state of Golis. Therefore, Kamosar, he says, it's very easy to reveal this. It's very easy to come back to this. Kamosar hanimsa b'shivya, shagam b'hayosa b'shivya lo nevda malasa. That when the Sar, even when he's in captivity, He's still a chosh of a person, even when he's in captivity. The gabi ish hedyet, which is not the same when it's a stama person. Uvetnua achas yochalach zulekad musa, and in one motion, one second, like it says in the Zohar Kodesh, birigah chada, a person, a tshuva birigacha, in 1 second, a person, mamish from that kotz al kotz, could turn his life completely around, birigacha, in 1 second. And that's why you look in footnote 31, that it helps us understand also part of the Baal Tanya's marshal that we've been learning this entire maimer, of the king that goes out to the field in the month of Elul. V'zeh ha'tam shegilu yagimu midas ha'rachim d'chedesh el yochel o'erah gam adam shubachinas midbar ruchni v'fi shagam ha'chayte yisrael hu. Therefore, even a Jew who's in the state of a midbar, not just a field, past the field, a midbar, he's like a desert. Even such a Jew who's a desert can always find his way back to the king, because what? He's a Yisrael, he's a Yid. Because a Yuvan Diak Loshna Moshel the Melech Besoda the Sheyotzen Anshe Ha'ir Lekrosa. In many sichas, Lubavitch Rebbe Schus Yigalino spoke about this. It was medayik in this, that it says in the Moshel of the king in the field, right when the king goes to the field and everybody comes to greet him. So the Moshel says Yotzen Anshe Ha'ir Lekrosa. It says that the city dwellers, you remember, the people from the city go out to meet him in the field. That means that the site of all of this is the belief that even the Jews who are out there in the field, or out there in the desert, where do they come from? The city. They come from Yerushalayim. They come from the Baruch. They come from the palace. They got trablonged in the fields. They got lost in the deserts of the world. But they come from the city. That's their place of origin. That's where they left from. That's why they go out from the city. Look, because of Anshe Hasadah. But what the Rebbe is saying with that, look how careful the Tanya is in every word. You have to be medayik in every word. Because if you or I would have made up such a beautiful mashal, not that we ever have thought of it, but if we would have, we would have said Anshe Sada. For sure we would have said Anshe Sada. That the people who are out in the fields go to greet the king. We never would have said such a thing, that the Anshe Ir go out to the field, and in the field they could still greet the king. We wouldn't have thought of that, right? So the Baal Tanya is saying is that there's no such thing as a Yid who's an Ish Sada. Where is there such a thing as an Ish Sada? By who? Esav. By Esav is an Ish Sada. That's what it says in Chumash. That's what we're learning now. That's what we just learned in Chumash. By the Goyim there's such a thing as Anshe Sada. By Yidin there's no such thing as an Ish Sada. We're talking about someone that comes from the city that he got fablonged. He got lost. He made a wrong turn. He made a wrong turn. He thought that he was going to be okay. He didn't realize that if you make a wrong turn. I was giving by the women a shiur list, not the last week. Last week I made sure to park the car facing back the right way. But 2 weeks ago I was running late and I parked by David Bagaya by the house over there to go around to give a shiur. I was facing the Woodsburg direction. I wasn't facing back to Woodmere. So I said it was an afternoon. I'll make a right turn and I'll go back home. I didn't tell my wife because she's always upset how I have no sense of direction. I get lost all the time. So I was mamish a half hour. I'm not exaggerating. Whoa, were you ever in that place in the back over there?
Are you kidding me?
I was a half hour in that. I couldn't get out.
Why?
I don't know. And I didn't have my cell phone. And I was thinking, even if I had, I wouldn't have called my wife. I would have called David probably. I wouldn't have called to ask me how to get out of there. I was mamish lost in these little places. I couldn't get out of those little streets and things. And I went to driveways and to homes. And I don't know if the cell doesn't even work there. Oh, it was a gullus. And you know what it was? It was. And then when I came out, it was like I was right by CVS somewhere.
I am.
I came out like I was right near. I was right home. I was almost home. So that's what I was thinking when I was there. Like I was thinking, all right, this is an Indian, because I knew I had this thing. Like I had to call someone. It was a whole hush of a thing. So I thought it was really not going to be. And I was thinking that that's what Rabbi Nachman. He said in the Torah, Vihina Saya Basad. It says by Yosef at Sadik. So he says he was lost. So he met the Malach Yavril. So so Menachem said that there is such a thing that a person gets so completely lost, and then he makes one turn and he sees that he's right next to his house. He makes one tenua. And he sees his home. Yeah, he didn't go so. He thought he was a million miles away. When I was driving around there, I felt like I'm in Arkansas. Where am I? What is this? I was looking at something. It's totally dark. I don't know, the people, they all go to sleep or something at 10 o'clock.
No streetlights there.
They're not garnish. It was just, I was looking for someone to ask. How do you get, just tell me how do you get to Broadway, West Broadway, something, Central Avenue, nothing. I was just going all over the place. And it was frustrating because I know that, like, I just have to go somewhere and it's going to be, you know, Broadway. I just have to get out of this thing over here. But I couldn't get out of it. So that's how it is. Right? You get mistabech. You get into the sibuchim. But the lamais are all on Sheheir. We just got from lunch, but we're so close to being home. That's the time. It's a tnuah achas, one tnuah with one right, with one turn. Where Rabbi Nachman says a chiddush, you weren't even playing. You didn't even know how to get, and somehow you went someplace. You ended up that it was a good place. You ended up finding that that's a block away from home. You didn't even know how to get there. It's not like someone called you up and told you from the map. Oh, here, Moshe, you have to make over there, two rights and a left. No, you just drayed around. It happens to me. I have siyata d'shmaya like that. My wife lives because even though I get lost a lot, but then somehow, I don't have any of those navigator things with the cars. So somehow, like, I dray around. And she always says, why don't you get the exact directions? Why don't you find that one? And she I said, it's all right, I'll get there. And I always go and I get lost. I get lost and I know what to do, and then I call up, what am I going to do? I'm here in the middle of nowhere. And then somehow, and I don't know any names of streets, and then I make a turn, it's a left, a right, and I don't know, I'm close, it was like a shortcut. I had a mice like this, in the country, it was the craziest thing. There wasn't any way I would get, you know, in the country if you get lost, that's worse than Woodsburg. If you get lost in the country, forget it. It's a pachad. It's mamish, like a choshech Mitzrayim, and there's nowhere to go. And then I also had the thing, like, you know, it was a mazel. I drayed around a little bit. They said, all right, in the country I like to drive anyway. It doesn't bother me. So I was driving, and I'm going here and I'm there, and I ended up like 5 miles away from my place. And it turns out that everybody else was stuck for like hours. And you know, there was a thing. There was a close. There was some kind of murder that took place. You know, some. You know, I guess the jukebox was shut down for the night and somebody killed somebody. I don't know what happened over there. Those guys. The bowling alley. So, you never know. So you dray around and you end up home. So that's it. There's no such thing as a Yankee.
Maybe that's why we blow the
shofar
during Yavol. To call the people, to let the people know where the center is.
Oh, very good. So the Shemi Shmuel, all the tzaddikim say, that the, and really from Epsad you're going, that you see that at a time where there's a new Shomer, that when you want to gather the troops together or some of the soldiers lost, so right, you hold the flag up, and that's the end of the flag in the Midbar also, in the desert, the flags, you blow the shofar, and everybody knows that everybody hears where they have to go. That's right. So he says down underneath them, that's what says Deep Lashon HaMarshal Melech Sad, Shiyotz Anshei Ha'ir Lekros, of Lekos of Anshei HaSadah, it doesn't say Anshei HaSadah, Anshei Ha'ir, Shebezem Madgish, the Rebbe is emphasizing, Shekol Ish Yisrael Mitzad Pnim Yusuf Atzmusu Begeder Anshei Ha'ir, makes no difference how unpolished the Jew is, makes no difference how he looks, every Jew really is from the Anshei Ha'ir, he really is from the Anshei Ha'ir. Shiruyim ladiras melech, which means what? That he is roi, he is fit and worthy to go back to the palace, to go back to the city, to live with the king. I mean, he needs a little bit. You have to teach him some etiquette, you know. You have to get him a new suit, to give him a shower, you know, fix him up a little bit, take care of him, olive base. But then he's ready. He's ready to go right back to the king, right back to the king. Like Chazal make that chilek, that Yaakov is an ish tam, ish chalak, and Esav is an ish seir, right, covered with hair. So Chazal make that chilek, that what is it, that when Esav is covered with hair, because what does that mean? It means that the Medrash says, like when someone who's very hairy, if he gets into schmutz, into tar, or filth, it becomes impossible to pick out everything, it's all mixed in. But Yaakov is called ish tam, ish chalak, smooth. So even when he gets himself into a mess, so you give him a shower, like the tzaddikim said, that a yid is like a diamond that falls into the mud. It says in the Lechavitch and the Salonim Esfram that a yid is like a diamond that falls into mud, that it's still a diamond and it's chayzer lekadmuso. You give it a wash and you put a little bit of polish and you scrub it a little bit, and it's beautiful. You see that it really never lost its original shine. That's why it says Anshayir. So every Jew can in a second, mamish, come back to that. Why else would these Jews who are out in the field, why else would they be so excited about the king coming? They're so excited because they feel, oh, they know him, they met him. This is an old friend. This is the king. They've been sitting in the field their whole lives. They come from the city, but they're sitting in the fields their whole lives. So what do they get so excited about when the king comes? So he's excited. They get excited because they come from the palace. They when they see the king, they feel a shaychus. They feel a shaychus to the king. Really, in essence, they come from the palace. They know the king. They know the king. That's why when they see the king again, they feel so excited. You have even a Jew who's far from Yiddishkeit. When he sees a tzaddik, he has his iris. Many, many times I've seen this. I've heard about this. You take a person. He could have read every single article and book about Judaism, and then you take him for 2 minutes. He sees a tzaddik, and he turns his whole life around. He sees a tzaddik. He feels like he met something from the past. He's meeting up with something that was where he was before. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, back on top after 31. So Hakimi doesn't feel the pain. Hakimi doesn't feel the sting of every aveira that he does that should hurt him. So this is the scary thing. There is such a thing that a Jew has done so many aveiras that there's a separation that's taken place. V'im kain gam achote tzorach lahargish as akeva achmanish shalom yitzaytza l'kishabo. According to what we're learning, that the sinner should also feel pain and rachmanis because of the spark of God that's in galus. Uchsheinam argish arizei simin shenichrus l'gamer mishorasha. So the scary thing is that there is such a thing that there's a separation that's taken place from his root, kitziporin, like the nail. Once the nail is not on the body, you can smash, you can step on it, doesn't feel anything. So how's a person supposed to do tshuva if it doesn't even hurt him anymore? How's he supposed to come back? So he says, just the opposite. This, he could awaken within himself the greatest rachmanis. Emayesha in a margish rachmanis alatzma. That he doesn't feel even the rachmanis. Hay his burnus bezeg gufa. If a person thinks deeply, I mean, you have to think deeply about it. You have to be someone that's prepared to think about it. Thinking anybody could do. Even though you don't feel anything, everybody could think. So feelings are hard. You don't know what with feelings, but thinking, a person could certainly think. So he says, the his burnus bezeg. If a Jew thinks deeply about this gufa itself, that what? That he's doing all kinds of affairs, doesn't even bother him. He's doing all kinds of crazy things, doesn't bother him. You think in a relationship between a husband and a wife, so could be that the first time, let's say that he flirted with another woman, the first time he felt guilty, he felt embarrassed, he couldn't look at his wife in the eyes, because he was flirting a little bit, he was talking, he was saying some things that weren't right. So then the first time he does that, he comes home, he can't look at his wife in the eyes, he feels funny, he feels embarrassed, because he doesn't know. Yeah, the second time, but eventually, God forbid, it can come to a point where he can look at his wife in the eyes and tell her the nicest things, and he's chas v'shalom. By that point, he's no longer just flirting. By that point, he's already, God forbid, involved in all kinds of affairs. And he doesn't feel a shaychus, a connection. It's so separated that it doesn't mean anything. In the beginning, he felt embarrassed. Why? Because it hurt him that he was unfaithful to his wife. It hurt him that he was saying things to somebody. So he felt inside of himself that he was unfaithful. He felt the pain of what he was doing. It bothered him. And he was embarrassed to look at his wife. But then you have a person that he doesn't care. He doesn't feel anything anymore. It doesn't bother him. He's just lost in that world of avarice. A person can go and could look at another woman or talk to another woman and go back and to be together with his wife, and doesn't bother him because he's so far, he's so right from what, there's such a separation that's taken place between him and his wife as a result of his aveiros, because he got himself involved with something he got himself involved with something, and people are wondering, they're going spending millions of dollars on therapists, and the guy's looking at other women and looking at the magazines or internet and all these different things, and then how come him and his wife don't have a warm relationship, says Shaila. That he's done so many aveiros in that Indian of Pagam HaBris that he doesn't have a connection to his wife anymore. Marriage is a bris. It's a bris. A person makes a bris with his wife under the chuppah. And then they live together. They live together and what? And it's a bris. So this person is moil bebris, he's kaifa bebris, he's paigim bebris, and he looks at other women, he talks to other women, even if he doesn't do it with them aveiros, God forbid. But the fact that he's talking and that he's flirting, chas v'shalom, he looks at things he shouldn't be looking at, melting the television, all these other things. So then he's supposed to come back and have warm feelings for his wife. He's separated. He made a separation between himself and his wife. He made a separation. Any time that either a husband or wife looks at somebody else with any hana, I'm not talking about saying good morning or something, but any hana, so then he's cutting away something from his relationship with his wife. Cutting away something with the relationship with the husband. Any time. It could be on television. It doesn't have to be a live person. Somebody looks at a woman on the television and has an hour from that. Which on the television they try to make sure that it's the only kind of people that somebody would have an hour from, looking at. So then what does that mean? Look, Gabi, his wife. And the poor woman sits at home and she's trying hard, and he comes on. He comes back and he says, no, I really do love you, but you know, how come you're not looking as pretty as you used to? Or how come this? And why don't you buy yourself that? And then, or why don't you try to be as alluring and as seductive as Chamyankel's wife, and so on and so forth. Hashem Yirachem. Oh, it's the most bitter golus. And you have a similar thing. It's not just the men. You have a lot of Nebuchadnezzar, the women that you have Maisim b'chol yom, Maisim b'chol yom. It's a terrible thing. There's women that are sitting around reading Narishkeit, or going watching stupid television shows and soap operas, and again, Demyonis. I had a marriage that was broken up in the neighborhood because some woman was ended up in bed with some guy in one of these exercise places. Ended up in bed with a guy. Comes home to her husband, five or six kids that are sitting in yeshiva. And the husband's Ne'er L'Chayit, and he's at work, working for the family every day, and she's with some guy at the exercise place. You know. Hashem Yirachem. Any time a person looks at Kiyuzah in the newspaper as something he shouldn't be looking at, it's Poigim and the Bris. And it cuts something away between a husband and a wife. Cuts. And then it comes to the point that he doesn't have a hergish for his wife. What happened? How come he doesn't care for his wife? He loved her. What, she changed? She's the nicest woman in the world. She did something bad. Yes, yeah, so he'll find all kinds of explanations why he doesn't love her anymore. But she didn't, she used to make him this kind of food, and she used to do this, and she used to do that. So all these things, that has nothing to do with it. It has to do with that he's pagim in the bris. And because there's a pagam habris, and then Mela, he's not able to connect to his wife emotionally, physically, you know, everything starts to fall apart. That relationship is, you know, between a husband and wife is a dugma, is a marshal of the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And when a yid starts to wander away, so he could come to a point where Hashem Yirachem, it can come to a point where this push is no longer any hergish. You don't feel anything, fellow kus. You open up a siddur, go on this, you can come, you can stand by a kumzit, you can by a ni'iluch face. Come out, you know, you don't feel anything. Sometimes even this unfaithful husband on the anniversary, he feels something. That's like Rosh Hashanah, you know, Yom Kippur is the anniversary. So something about the Seder, a little bit, special times, but mostly he's lost in Demyonis, in his Demyonis, and then he doesn't feel anything for his wife anymore. So this is the biggest Rachmanis. If a person sits down and starts to think, instead of blaming God, instead of blaming his wife or blaming her husband, a person starts to think, what a Rachmanis, I don't even feel anything anymore. Why don't I feel anything? How come I don't care for this person? Why? Did this did my life become so different than the person I married? So if you're a shallow idiot, then you'll say, yes, she became very different. Ruba de ruba, 99.9%, the women become nicer and become better. That's how it is. It's not that there's anything wrong with the wife. It's that the husband's at work all day and he's looking at the wrong people and saying the wrong things, and then he goes on to the wrong machines, and then he's dragging around in forbidden territory. So he comes home and so he doesn't have a hergish for his wife. He doesn't have a hergish. And all the sorrows that come from that. Yeah. So the Rebbe says that Mizah Adrabba. If a person thinks about this, he can be Ma'ari the biggest Rahmanis. He says, yeah, why? Because he thinks to realize his bonus bezagufa taviu tavioi levakesh meza kashbaruch lerachim alav. This person starts to really, if he thinks about it, what's wrong with me? I don't feel anything anymore. He can really start to scream and to cry. Rachmanis, ask the bonus of Rachmanis, help me. On the shmosu shenichus and mishosham, and the sham is so out of touch. I'm so cut off from myself, from my neshama. Even though he doesn't feel the Rachmanis on himself, but he could cry out to Rabbi Yisrael, you, Rabbi Yisrael, help me feel Rachmanis. Have Rachmanis on me. Connect me again. That I should feel the pain of what's gone wrong with my life. Rabbi Shalom, your compassion is infinite. Rachem aleinu, peirush from neshan nachnu ein sechleinu hadal masik gadol rachmanis. In other words, I'm such an idiot. I don't even know what a rachmanis is. I'm so far removed. I'm so cut off by my averus. I don't even feel the rachmanis. So, but Rabbi Shalom, rachamecha harabim, you certainly feel a rachmanis. You certainly understand the pain that I should be feeling. You certainly feel my pain of being separated from you. So then we ask Hashem, Rachamech, Rachamech, Harabim, Rachem Aleinu. Let's try to think of that maybe when we daven once in a while. Rachamech, Harabim, Rachem Aleinu. Ein sechlein hadal, masik gadol rachmanis. Bakoshes rachmim zu. This call for rachmanis. Shemavakish rachmim av she'enu margish b'lib rachmanis. To ask that the Baruch Shem should have Rachmanis, even though we don't feel in ourselves Rachmanis. He al derech mashum levur b'mokam acher, b'peirish hatfila b'rachamecha harabim rachem aleinu. Shadig b'zehu b'rachamecha harabim. Your Rachmanis, your endless, your infinite Rachmanis, b'rachamecha harabim. Rachamecha Rabbim she'anu mevakshim Rachmei HaKadosh Baruch Hu gam kishein anu mevinim gadol Rachmanis. We can ask Hashem's Baruch for Rachmanis even when we don't understand the depths of the Rachmanis. You see this over and over in Reb Nosson's Tfilas, in Lekutei Tfilas, this Bakasha. K'mar chen kan Da'av she'en anu margishim is gadol HaRachmanis, even though we don't feel the girl Rachmanis, the Rachmanis, we come to Rachem Aleinu, Rachmecha Rab. Kemidas Rachmanis, Midosu Shol Yaakov, Mavriach Manakotze Elakotze. Because the Mida of Rachmanis is the Mida of Yaakov Avinu, it's Mamish, the parasha we're in now. What's the Mida of Yaakov Avinu? Of course, Yaakov is Teferis. Teferis is Rachmim, Chesed Gvur. Teferis is Rachmim, which is the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, which is Mavriach Men HaKotzei El HaKotzei. What does that mean, Mavriach Men HaKotzei El HaKotzei? Every sixth grader in Benos Beis Yaakov should know this, because that was last night's homework I was doing with my Chani, right? With Parshas Truma. That's Men HaKotzei El HaKotzei. Is a part of the krushim, of course, the beam, the middle beam that was joining together, Menakotze Elakotze, went through from one end, from the wall, from one extreme, all the way to the other extreme, that middle beam. So, that's Yaakov Avinu. Hatam Shechoyim Levakesh Rachamim, the reason that it's possible to ask for rachamim, even though you're on the lowest level, who are you? What are you asking? You don't even feel rachmanis, and you have this thing in your head that you want, that you're asking for rachamim. Whom? Why could you do that? What entitles a Jew to such a bakasha? Whom ipnei? The reason is shezui milas midas rachamim, because that exactly is the mila of the midas rachamim. That's what the midas rachamim is. That's the mila of the midas rachamim. Shezui milas midas rachamim midasu shayankiv shalea nema marviach man hakotze el hakotze. That in the Mishkan, it was reaching from one end to the other end, from the highest level all the way to the lowest level, like the name Yaakov, which is Akiv, which means heel, and his other name is Yisrael, which means Rosh, Li Rosh, Yisrael. It's Mavriach Man HaKotze El HaKotze. Rachmanis, Adrabba, the lower the person that you see, the bigger the Rachmanis of the Merachim, right? The bigger the Rachmanis. It's Mavriach Man HaKotze El HaKotze. That means what?
How did the two, Li Roish and
Sarkel,
put together
Yisroel? All right, so we can talk about that, but I want to make sure we get... let's just finish this. I want to finish the note here to make sure to understand this right now. So he says, Alena Mavriach Menakotze Lekotze, Hainu, She Megia Ad Lekotze HaTachtan V'yotze. It reaches the lowest Menakotze Elakotze, Mavriach from one end to the other end. All the way to the end. Sherach Me'akadosh Baruch Hu Megiyim Ad la adam shofel kazeh, that the rachmei Hashem reaches even to such a low person. Shein amargish afilu gadol rachmanis shalav. Every Jew can ask Hashem rachmanis, rachmecha aram rachemer, because that's the definition of rachmanis. Rachmim rachmanis reaches all the way to the end, to the lowest Jew. When I kotze el kotze, there's nobody that's excluded from that calling out for rachmanis. There's nobody that's excluded. 34, footnote 34. So here it explains a little bit more what this is, the Ninyav Mavriach when a Kotze Lekotze. Loshen is here, this Loshen. Mekoyre mehanemer gabi brichei hakarshei ha-mishkan. This is about the beams of the Mishkan. Shabrichim ha-alyoyne ba-tachtayim ha-yulasui mishtei ha-tichas kal brichei gir rak ad-chatsi ha-kaisal. They were made from two pieces. Each one reached the half of the kosel, half of the wall. Right, that's kedai to look. If you look in the art scroll in the Arya Kaplan on Parshas Truma, you'll see their beautiful drawings. Or if you have the old Mishkan book, it'll show you how it works. But this was the beam that connected all the way through and through. And what does this mean, al derech hasayid, in Kabbalah and Chassidus? Briach hatichon. The center beam, of course, is referring to which midah? Midah Sarachmin. Shehi Sviras Teferis. Chesed is on one extreme, Gvura is the opposite extreme, and Teferis is the Mavriach, the Briach HaTichon, which is Mavriach Menekotza. Teferis is what holds together Chesed and Gvura, the two extremes. That's the Sviras of Teferis. Shebekav ha'imitzoi, the middle kav, kiyadua shechesed, which is ahava, hu biyamin, is the right side. Gevur is yira, the small, that's the left side. Teferis, which is rachmim, is called gufa. Gufa means the torso. So the body. There's the right, there's the left. He's talking about pasach elio. From the Zohar Kodesh, right? The maimer pasach elio. That chesed is dro yamina. Chesed is the right arm. Gvura dreis smoila is the left. Teferis gufa. And Teferis is the body, is the torso, is the center. It's the mavriach mina kotze lekotze. The body holds together the two ktsavos, the two extremes of the right and the left. Gvura besmol, Teferis racham gufa bemse, that's in the tikkunim. Umailas midas harachmim shebekav ha-emtsoi. The mila, the advantage, the mila of this midas harachmim, which is the kava emtsoi, that middle beam, Shemarvich min a katzel a katzel, that it stretches, it reaches from one extreme to the other. Mikseh ha-yoyser el yoyser yoyser, from the highest extreme to the lowest extreme. Memilim pshutas, in simple words. Midas ha-rachmim, this midah which is called rachamim, is megiyah al-oymek ha-nefesh. It reaches the oymek ha-nefesh. Kseh ha-yoyser, the depths of the soul. Shalchein, therefore, yuchel adam l'soyer b'rachim g'dolim g'abamatzav she'ein tam v'seichel l'rachim. Therefore, even when it makes no sense to have rachmanis, like in the case of a guy who's doing a various his whole life, it makes no sense that the Baruch Hu should have any rachmanis. What do you mean, rachmanis? You dug yourself into the thing. Or like they say by the nations of the world, you made your bed, now sleep in it, right? And say, listen, buddy, you made this problem, it's your fault, what are you going to do? Even such a Jew hold it. Even such a Jew who's mamish in that place of the worst shiflus, b'sha'ol tachtiyos mamish, the bottom, rock bottom. Even there, he could say, "Have rachmanis, rachmecha harab," because rachmanis doesn't stop halfway. Rachmanis goes from a kotze to a kotze. Doesn't stop in the middle. Lefichach megiim harachmim gam laadam shofel b'yoyser. It reaches even what a person that shofel b'yoyser mamish the lowest. Shemitzad midas a chesed shebenefesh lo hayagomel chesed imay. Chesed is a gewaldig thing. But even the midah of chesed would say, enough is enough. But rachamim goes even there. Rak mitzad midah se rachamim shabai, have a yumarachim alav. Now on top, that's what we're up to, in the text on top. I mean, all the way on top. V'im gam bezais. Yes.
It seems that chesed, though Hashem could give chesed without you asking for it, but rachamim you have to ask for.
Right. Chesed kel kol hayayim. Chesed is a thing that flows. You're right. Chesed is something which is min ha-mashpia el ha-makabal. It's min ha-noisen el ha-makabal. Without his iris mitzad ha-makabal. So it's almost like if it's your lucky day, you're the winner. But you're 100% right. When it comes to Rachmanis, the Ikkar Rachmanis is that there should be the one who needs Rachamim. There has to be his service. It's a good thing that you mentioned it's a big Indian in the Svarim, but I don't want to go into it so much, but you caught me. The truth is it really is a very big Indian. I didn't want to go so much into between Chesed and Rachamim, because that'll take us like for a month away from what we're doing. And even though it's really no get to these parashiyas that we're in, with the Akavinu and with the Avos, I mean, taking Yaakov to understand properly. But you're right. When it comes to Rachmanis, there's a hisoiris of Rachamim, mitzad, the one upon whom there should be pity. That's why we understand that Yaakov is mitoso shleima. Yaakov has good children. All of Yaakov Avinu's children are holy. Avraham Avinu, which is the midas of chesed, could have a Yishmael. Chesed can go in such a way. Rachamim is very different, because Rachamim is the one who's calling out, B'rachamecha harab rachem aleinu. Rachmanis of mir. And that already means that that there's an aserus of the lasat, there's a rots and there's a kli kibble. If a yid screams out, he says rachmecha rab rachem alai. So it means he makes himself into kli, and then the Baruch Hu says rachamim. Rachamim is for everyone, even for you. If you really want, a ches is not like that. Therefore, Yaakov and his children are all holy. Yaakov is the midas rachamim. His children are all kalim. When it comes to Avraham Avinu, chesed is a hashpah. Chesed can go to the wrong place without kelim. And if there's no kli, so then the chesed could become very dangerous, could be very destructive. So when it comes to being a parent, all of these parenting, most of these, no, I shouldn't say, it's not nice to say. Some of these parenting classes that are out there are coming from a very, very simple place. And without understanding the shirish in the midas and the spheres, it's very hard really to know what exactly is a parent supposed to do at any particular time of his life and at the end of the day. Because really, it all has to do with the midas and with the spheres and tikkun midas. And it's very, very hard to just talk about, like, you know, behavioral, motivational stuff without understanding the shirish of how the kid is acting and how the parent is acting. And a child, and for, and those parents who are just giving, and the child is not seeking rahmanas in some way, at least on some level, so the children are lost. They get terribly, terribly lost. For a parent to understand that the midas harachamim doesn't mean just to give. The midas harachamim means, yeah, even if your kid has fallen to the lowest place, but he still has to do something. There was a parent that called me last week. I'm Isa with a son that's in a lot of trouble. He got himself into a lot of trouble. It's a nace in my mind. It's a nace that the yeshiva is still giving him another chance. It's mamish a nace. The nice people in the yeshiva, they're giving him a chance, but the kid really has got himself into. So the father is looking for, and the father, like many parents, that you think, you know, you're going to get some some rabbi, you make a call, and there's going to be like a, you know, I'll take my kid to the rabbi, talk to him for half hour, and then the kid's going to be all better, and everything's going to be fine, and I'll just go back to being, you know, the parent that I'm capable of being. And so the father was talking to me for a long time, but the kid's doing this, the kid's doing that. Would you talk to him? I said, 100% I'll talk to him. I said, tell him to call me. So the father said, can you call him? He said, he's not going to call you. He's not going to call me? I'm not calling him. I said, you think it's politics? If my wife asks me to call the Spanish girl, I'll call this. I have no problem calling. I'm not embarrassed. If you know me, it's not my inyan. I have no inyan like this. But I'm not going to call your kid because there has to be at least a nekuda ktana of a kli, at least that much of a rotzen, of a bakosh, of a nekuda to get past that. At least a nekuda. And even if he calls and says, hi, I don't want to talk to you, then I'll call back 10 times. I'll call him back then. I'll go after him. And I understand. That's his way of saying, I do want to talk. If a kid calls and says, I can't, I'm not interested. My father maybe. That's good. That's really good. If the kid didn't want to talk, his father wouldn't force him. He wouldn't be able to get on the phone. So the kid calls, that's enough. I just, if anything he says, it's fine. That means that there's already a nekuda, there's a Pesach. It means he's ready for something. And that's not voided. But that's not something that that's something that the parents have to. It's not voided. To understand what's the chesed could be that what got this kid to that point is chesed. They're not bad people. Parents are wonderful people. It's not always bad situations. Sometimes the parents are very good. But you don't have proper gedarim. They want proper boundaries, or fences, or walls. You see this keseda. I see this, that, you know, that there's not enough wall. You have sometimes, but it's interesting thing. You have sometimes people that they come, I see this very often, people that come from a totally non-religious background, that they make such crazy walls because they don't know, they don't have a messiah, like when you could bend a little bit. They don't know that here you can give a little bit. A person has to know how to make room for a child. So I've seen sometimes you have a husband and wife, that they're Bali Tshuva, that they're like, there's such a thing, like they think, and he said, are you killing your kid? Like, give him a little bit. No, but I heard the Shia, and the Shia said that, you know, I said, there are things that are after the Shia and before the Shia. Not everything, but a lot of the Bali Tshuva, they only know the Shia. They don't know what's before the Shia and what's after the Shia. What's before the Shia and after the Shia is the Rebbe talks to them on the side or whatever. You know, there are things that you have to know how to go with this kid. So the Sahada Mice is telling me this, that the father, that the son, you had this kid that he refused to put on socks by the Shabbos table. He has a thing on all of his feet, the kid. Hey. So it was with parents of Bali Tshuva. So the mother, as usual, the mother said, maybe we should let him go like that, you know, because he was really like the kid, like, was very angry about it. It was a whole scene. And it happened a few times. And he heard in the Shia that you're not allowed to go like that. And it's a bizarre to Shabbos. And he, you know, I don't know, he didn't go to the Shia about yelling at your kid in front of the Shabbos candles. That he must have missed that Shia. And he was going, and the mother went running to the room after the son, you know, say that's okay and whatever, and I'll talk to that. You know, one of these typical scenes, and the you know, the father's smoke coming out of his ears, and the mother's crying. Why did you do that? And she looks at him, and she looks at the mother doesn't know what to do because the father says, if you go to the room, then I'm not talking to you again. You know what I mean? The wife doesn't know what to do in these situations because it's the husband's either me or it's him, and the mother, what's she supposed to do? It's to choose between the husband or a kid. You know, it's all these things that happen all the time. What? So they. So he called me up, and you know, they called me up, and who was right? I said, it's the Shail. I mean, what's the big deal? If he didn't wear socks to the Shail, so what? He was wearing pants in game. He was wearing pants. No, yeah. So he didn't wear socks. So maybe next week he'll wear socks. And what is it? For that you make a whole churban in the house and make a whole tumult. But doesn't it say in the Mishnah Berurah? You know, it says in the Mishnah Berurah. And I learned when I was in Yerushalayim. It says in the Mishnah Berurah. It says, yeah, it says in the Mishnah Berurah. If it was the Chavetz Chaim's kid, he wouldn't have yelled at him. If it was the Chavetz Chaim's son would have come without socks, the Chavetz Chaim wouldn't have ruined the whole Shabbos. You have to understand. And what's Rachmanis and what's Rachman, what's Chesed? And then it has the other way. Did too much Chesed, too much Gevurah. All right, we'll start Mitzvah Shem next time. In the meantime, let's try to wear our socks.